Now, Talk Back with Daniel Martin on CNA 938.
As you've heard in the news, it is now less safe to drive on our roads. That's looking at the number of accidents, fatal collisions, and more. And as such, proposals announced under the newly tabled Road Traffic Miscellaneous Amendments Bill to improve road safety. There are many aspects to it that have been proposed. This includes like just holding a mobile phone is now would become an offence. No need to be touching and using it, just holding it. There would be stiffer jail term and time for grievous hurt. There'll be this new categorization of purposeful endangerment, because recognizing that your car is a vehicle, it can be used as an offensive tool. And so individuals who tailgate and horn a motorcycle, under the proposals, this could be seen as purposeful endangerment. There'll be a new category introduced, proposed as drug driving. And of course, taking into account the recent spate of etomidate smokers whose judgment is impaired and then still getting behind the wheel. There would be a proposal for automated violation systems. That is interesting. Huh? That would be an automated system to instantly verify and issue traffic violation notices to vehicle owners for objective technical offences. That means, like, can you imagine, like, if you park double yellow line and then automatically you get a notice on your phone that you've been summoned for that? Okay, that's very interesting. But I'm zooming in on one area in particular. If you're the kind of person who's at a dinner event or at a luncheon and they offer you a drink and a beer or whatever, and you say, ah, that's fine, within legal limits, okay, one drink becomes two becomes three, and then before you know it, is that still within the legal limit? Well, guess what? The legal limit in terms of alcohol per 100 milliliters has been lowered drastically. So, previously it was 80 to 30 milligrams of alcohol per 100 mils. Now, 35 to 15. That's more than half reduction. My question on today's Singapore Today, lowering the drink driving limits as we've seen in these. Remember, these are proposals. It hasn't happened yet. But lowering the drink driving limits, will that stop someone from considering this safe number of drinks on a night out?
Have your say. It's Talk Back with Daniel Martin. Call in 669 11938 or WhatsApp 963 11938.
Hello and welcome to Kevin Liu, who's head of crime practice at GJC Law. Kevin, welcome. Hi.
Hey, Daniel. Thanks for having me.
You've heard that refrain as well. I've heard it from many, many times from family members and friends. Like, it's fine, legal limit, it's fine, it's okay. Like, we've heard that. Maybe people will stop saying that potentially with this lowered level, huh?
Legal.
There is no legal limit, right, to some extent?
The legal limit lowering so substantially is quite interesting to me, because, you know, previously you can be like, oh, one drink, then your aunt offers you another, then you'd be like, okay, maybe you just one more.
Still within legal limit. Like, that's what I've heard people say.
Yeah, now you have to disappoint your aunt. You just be like, hey, sorry, I'm driving.
No, you just tell them you listen to Health Matters and you heard that the number of calories and alcohol is very bad, so you're sticking to water.
and then she'll show you, hey, tequila soda is, you know,
zero calorie drink.
Yeah, zero calorie.
Then don't drive. Leave the car at home. It's not hard. It really isn't. Every time I've got work events, I've got company events, and if I know that's happening, I leave the car at home. I take the train to the office. It's simple. I plan ahead for those days. And that means if I have a drink, I don't have to, you know, think twice even about saying yes. The current limit, let's talk about that slashing, Kevin, because this is a more than half reduction. So the new reduction is 15, this proposal, I should say, again, this proposal. Mm. It's being lowered to something like 15 milligrams of alcohol per 100, where it was before 35. That's more than half. What signal does this send to you as a member of the legal profession? Is it, by lowering this threshold, is it basically saying that, you know, outside of, I don't know, the rum and raisin cake and any kind of medications or something or whatever, the point is, this makes it so much easier to met out a judgment for this lowered blood level. It's just that much easier to get the conviction.
Hey, I think if the public is reacting well to this, right, then we might see a downward trend in drink driving. But if the public is not reacting well, good for the lawyers then. There will be so much more drink driving cases because it's so easy for people to cross that threshold.
It's exactly. It makes it so much easier to cross the threshold, right? Because we're talking about, again, depending on whether male or female, that's the equivalent of something like 1 to 1.5 drinks. But I really, there's no safe limit. But approximately, if you were to do the math, it would be 1.5 standard drinks for males and not more than 1 standard drink for females, as what that 15 micrograms represents. But then one of my producers in the office just now said, but what kind of alcohol? Like,
yeah. And people will be like, hey, I'm a bigger dude. So, does that mean that I can drink more?
Yeah.
Or I've had a big dinner, you know, I've had a lot of carbs. You know, people used to have one slab of butter before they go drinking so that they can drink more.
To absorb the alcohol, is it? That was the
yeah, to absorb the alcohol. So how does that come into play?
Yeah. So we're hearing it from a lawyer as well. It just become like, if you don't listen, lawyers are going to have a lot of good business because it's so much easier to ascertain that you've been drink driving because of this lowered limit. Let's talk to our listeners. 9631193. Opening up the WhatsApp now. Send your voice notes. Like, do you think somebody is, or send your messages, do you think that finally people will stop thinking that there is a so-called legal limit to drink driving? And it's like, it's fine, within the legal limit. Let's talk, Kevin, about the idea of people misjudging how impaired they really are. Have you heard, or anecdotally from other colleagues who have represented such clients, have you heard the idea that, like, you know, I'm a good judgment of my character and I was in control of all my facilities and blah, 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 blah?
No, you're right on. So it's, so I've personally handled a lot of drink driving cases, and most of them, the drivers think that they're fine, okay? And then, you know, accidents happen, that kind of thing. But it's not often that the drivers are driving like really quickly on the highway, or they're trying to be audition for the next F1 driver. It's often simple things like, hey, I'm stopping at the traffic light. Okay, I think I'm fine, but I stop at the traffic light for like 2 minutes and I fall asleep. And then my foot hits the pedal, and then my car just goes to mount the curb or hit the traffic light.
Yeah.
It's simple things like that. They think they're fine, okay, until they get behind the wheel. Something mundane, like driving on a long stretch of road, they fall asleep. Mm. Those kind of things just happen.
Exactly. So I want to go to the WhatsApps where somebody has WhatsApped across, and I'm reading this one first because it's an interesting point about the breathalyzer. This person says they have seen on Shopee and Lazada people selling like a breathalyzer that you could buy by yourself, or maybe sometimes some of these bars or restaurants have it as well. What do you think? Should we stop them from having it? Because then people will think they're still within the limit.
Hey, I don't think it's a bad idea if RTA comes into the picture to approve this. RTA, I mean the traffic police or the LTA comes into play to approve these devices. I don't think it's a bad idea to ascertain whether you're over the limit. But then now you're playing with the
limit versus your body weight, your cholesterol. Again, a medical professional would help me. Like, you know, there's a difference, right? Whether you're a slim, slender person who's processing well versus not.
No, plus now you're playing with the numbers. Okay, so what if you're 14 micrograms? Okay, but then you had a long day, you're tired, okay, you forgot to bring your glasses. Those come into play too, into whether you're driving, you can drive or not.
Yeah, I didn't even know this.
You're playing,
Oh my gosh, legally, I just searched for it.
You can still be under.
They really sell it. $7.90 for this one, a digital breath Lazada alcohol tester.
Like, also, you can get those.
Also, if you're buying these 790 ones and all that and don't know where they're from and zero bread, like, how can you be sure they actually work? You know, that's my worry. This is quite an important test, no?
Yeah, and who are you going to sue, right, if the test comes out to be wrong?
I love that lawyer question that you went straight to straight away. Who are you going to sue?
Can you sue those manufacturers in China?
That's
Vietnam.
A good point. Okay, here's another WhatsApp. This person says, I feel these measures don't address the underlying issue. What's the actual percentage of accidents caused by drink driving? Isn't the issue with angry or impatient drivers? Well, okay, let's talk about that. First of all, the overall statement is that it is now less safe to drive on the roads of Singapore. And that's why this proposal has, and in my introduction, I summarized a whole bunch of proposals covering everything, not just one thing. I have decided to zoom in on the drink driving aspect and the one thing, because I can't discuss everything in one show, you know what I mean? So in the proposal, it really is addressing a whole range of elements, isn't it, Kevin? This idea of even holding the phone while driving, so that's a distraction. Stiffer jail terms, purposeful endangerment is the new categorization, drug driving as a new terminology, and mm-hmm. even the idea of driving disqualification periods. From a legal perspective, they are giving you many more tools and levers to step on to address different aspects of driving on the roads of Singapore, correct?
Yeah, or like tailgating. I mean, it could be potentially a dangerous driving act. Mm-hmm. Just driving too close to the car in front of you, right? Yes. Or honking unnecessarily.
So going to what my listener said the real issue is with somebody being angry on patient driver. Again, going forward, that's no excuse because of this new terminology. Purposeful endangerment means using your car as a weapon, so to speak, or something intimidating. So if you're doing that thing, if you're tailgating someone because you're angry, and then you hold at them because you're angry, guess what? You could be charged under purposeful endangerment, is it?
Especially when you're dealing with a car and a motorcycle, there's this disparity in, you know, your vehicle size, then you can sort of be, you know, the cars can be this bully, you know, forcing the motorcycle into the edge of the lane, for example. Those would be appropriately, you know, categorized under the new legislation, which is positive, I would think.
Thank you so much for that WhatsApp, everybody. I'm going to talk about one more element having to do with that previous message about the breathalyzer. Going forward, there's going to be some changes in terms of the legal ability to do the breathalyzer or to take the blood sample. Previously, a doctor had to sign off on it. Now, the medical professionals just have to legally be confident that it is not harmful to the patient to take the blood sample. From a legal point of view, why is this important for us to be aware of?
I think there is this recent case where the blood sample was rejected because the doctor did not sign off saying that, hey, let's take the blood sample. I think if memory serves me right, this should be the catalyst for this change. Okay, now as long as the medical professional says you can take, I mean, then it's good to go.
Can a person decline to provide a blood sample?
The person can decline, but it could fall under an offence, you know, for not cooperating.
And right now, there is, in the proposal, suggestions to have mobile portable breathalyzers that the traffic police would also be able to administer on the spot. So previously, you would have to be taken and then time would have passed. And then in the, you know, every hour, your body is basically processing alcohol and breaking it down. So what does this mean as well? I mean, again, proposal, but from a legal point of view, would you, as a lawyer, be able to prosecute based on the on-site breathalyzer test, you think, or we're not sure yet?
I am not certain yet. The legislation has to change to allow for this, firstly. But to the not so legal issue, yeah, I think it's positive because, as you said, time would have passed for when the person is transported to the police station where they take the breathalyzer or the blood sample. And then, you know, they can pretend to be so drunk that they can't cooperate to give the blood or breath. Yeah. Then that delays the process more.
Have you heard about people employing such tactics? Really? Actually, I
think it's more common than you're thinking.
No, actually, there's a whole category of pseudoscience that exists around how to get the alcohol out of your system. We've all heard the stories, everyone. Haven't we? I had one person who was a pilot tell me that you wind down the window and you exhale deep, loud breaths and it expels the alcohol from your body and some rubbish like that. My point is, there's all sorts of old housewives tales. People say, like, eat the fried food and eat this. Like, suddenly everyone becomes a pseudoscience expert and is able to tell you how your body does this. We've heard it all and it doesn't make a difference though, right?
If you want to avoid the pseudoscience, maybe blood sample would be the most accurate then.
Yeah.
Because you can't really alter your blood. I mean, with breath, I can see how food could potentially block the breath. Yeah, durian or what? Yeah. Maybe blood would be more accurate then.
And is it always required that, is that what happens now? Is a blood sample always taken for suspected drink driving cases?
No, breath is still the more common one.
When is
nowadays.
Blood taken over breath? When is it necessary to take blood, rather, from a legal point of view?
I would think if they're suspecting other substances, then blood would definitely be necessary, especially now with etomidate. There are a lot of cases, you know, with K-pods and etomidate driving.
To the point that we've had to, in this proposal, suggest a new terminology, which is drug driving.
Yeah, and punishments are so harsh. We just had a recent sentence for the first etomidate driving. It's like 9 months to a year imprisonment.
If you're still somebody who thinks that it's fine to drink within the legal limit, this new proposal for lowered alcohol limits will really cause people to think twice. In case you're thinking, wow, this is another example of how harsh it is to live in Singapore, guess what? This actually brings Singapore in line with other places in Asia like Japan, South Korea, Taiwan. These places all have numbers around these new lowered proposal numbers. So the idea is, the MHA says there is no such thing as a safe number of drinks before driving because alcohol affects everyone differently. Kevin Liu is head of crime practice of GJC Law. Kevin, do you think we have reached a stage where people are still thinking to themselves that they can be a better judge? I know how alcohol affects me. I've been drinking my whole life. Y'all cannot tell me how you know. Like, have you heard that as well as a defense?
Yeah, once you've had a drink, you become very good at justifying how well you can drive, right? And then you're also very good at believing your justifications. And like what you said, the lowering of the limit actually brings us to many other countries, right? But it's workable because we have a good public transport system. We have good private hire system, okay? Whenever we need a Grab, we can get it.
But what
about other countries? Yeah. Like, some town in Malaysia or, you know, other countries, for example, where it's not so easily accessible, people tend to need to drive. So that's a real issue, but it's not an issue here.
Not at all. And it is rather easy, actually, to access public transport facilities as well. So the final point that I want to touch with you is the tougher enforcement and the tougher penalties. What does that mean? How much more harsher would the penalties be under these proposals for drink driving?
I am familiar with the current one. With regards to the increase one, I'm not super familiar with it. But even with the current one, it's pretty harsh, you know. It's a minimum of 24 months once you're caught with drink driving. So I don't think the issue lies with the punishment itself. It could be the enforcement. People think they can just get away with it. Hey, roadblock is usually at this location. What if I just drive this other road? I'll be safe, you know. Or what are the odds? People always think, what are the odds, right?
Yes.
Or it can't be me.
Yes.
I think that is the issue.
It's this. There's a psychologist spoke to me once, but there's this idea that, exactly that, which is, yes, it happens, but it won't happen to somebody like me. It's fine. There's this shield that you think that you exist around you. But let's remind ourselves that it's not just about dangers to yourselves or being caught. Worst case scenario is somebody else's life is affected as well.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen that is often the case when it comes to drink driving accidents?
Yeah, not just the innocent victims, but your own lives. Imagine falling asleep behind the wheel and then you just hit a wall. You won't even know how you passed, you know. Your families will be the ones suffering.
You're listening to Talk Back right here on Singapore Today. New proposals for making roads and driving safer in Singapore. I've zoomed in on one aspect, which is the idea of lowering the drink driving limits. And as Kevin and I have been discussing, hopefully this will do away with this some very commonplace statement where people assume that it's fine. You can have that drink or two or three because you're still within the legal limit. You've got drastically reduced levels in alcohol per blood milliliter. This has been Talk Back. I'm Daniel Martin. Oh, and thank you once again to Kevin Liu, head of crime practice at GJC Law, for being my guest.